Shalom to all. Today we're going to learn Yerushalmi Beit Zohar right at the beginning of Parakei, and the Arzor Shuris Davs on Lamet Hesomet Aleph, and the Arzor Shuris Davs on Mem Beit Zomet Aleph, and today's office sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mirim Sarah Bas Riyaka Moshe, her and his Shama should have an Aliyah. And Mishnah tells us, Mashilin Pairs Derech Aru B'Yom Tif, one's allowed to lower fruits by way of the Aruba, which is usually translated as a skylight on Yom Tif, namely, if he has fruit drying on the roof, and he sees that there's storm clouds gathering, and if it starts raining, it's going to ruin his fruit, so he's allowed to go up to the roof and throw these fruits through the opening, and that's even though there is some sort of tircha involved, and usually we avoid unnecessary tircha on Yom Tif. This is permitted in order to save this loss of money. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Umchasen Sapares Bekelim Bnei Adelef, if there's rainwater leaking, he's allowed to cover fruits that he has with kelim of sorts in order to protect them, and Vachin Kadiyan, Vachin Kadishemen, so too with jugs of wine and oil, he could cover them as well. And Vinoisen Kli Tachla Delef Beshabbos, on Shabbos, he's allowed to place a Kli underneath dripping water to prevent it from going elsewhere. He's not allowed to lower the fruits through the skylight on Shabbos, he's not allowed to cover them with a Kli, but he is allowed to catch the water from spreading and ruining his fruits or whatnot. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah, Mashilin Peres Derech Aru B'Yom Tif V'Chulu, and we clarify Masisa Ba'Oisei Agag. Our Mishnah is talking about where it's the same roof. The roof that has the skylight is the same roof that has the fruits drying, so it's not so much Tircha. Av Begag Acher, Aser. But if the skylight in which he's going to be lowering the fruits through is on a different roof, it's Aser for him to do that because that's too much Tircha, even on Yom Tif. However, further clarification, B'She'en Oishaveh, that's only if these two roofs are not on the same level. So now he has to take the fruits from one roof, which is on one level, and go to a different roof, which is on a different level. Avolam hayishaveh, but if it's the same level, mutter, then it's permitted. And one more din, tani v'raisa hayisham chaloin. If there was a window, even if there's no skylight, mashchilin der chaloin, he can lower these fruits and throw them in through the window. Now we're discussing another din. Rabbi Yirmiyah says b'shem Rav, parson machzelas agabe shipov shalavanim b'shabes. A person has a whole stack of bricks, and he's afraid they're going to get ruined, so he's allowed to take a mat and spread them over these bricks on Shabbos. And the chiddush over here is as follows: there's a discussion whether or not we're allowed to take a kli and move it for something which is not allowed to be moved. Or saying over here is that's permitted, that even though these bricks are mukta and they're also to be moved themselves, one is still allowed to take a kli. He's allowed to take this mat and move it in order to be able to cover the bricks. This is called kli nitel, even the tzarech davar she'enoi nitel. Now Amar Shem Rabbiyana, Shem Rabbiyana says, Ani lo shemati me'abo, I did not hear the following thing directly from my father, but achaisi amar li mishmai, my sister told it to me in his name, beitza shenol de biyomtef, an egg that was laid on Yom Tif, which you know was mukta. So I'm going to kli b'shvil shalitz galgal. One's allowed to place a kli next to it so that it doesn't roll and break. Aval ein kaifin alei kli, no taking a kli and turning it over on top of the egg to prevent it from breaking. The first thing is permitted because of what we had said. A kli is nitel. Afilu tzarech davar she'enoi nitel. However, he has to do it in some sort of backhanded manner, which means he's only allowed to place it next to the egg. He can't place it on top of the egg. However, lam tasman beis on top. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says kaifin alei kli. He can even overturn a kli on top of it. Now Omar of Man of Mana clarifies. That's as long as the kli doesn't actually touch the egg, because then it might move it, and then he's being metaltal mukta. Now, Tony Rabbi Shaya, we have a brice from Rabbi Shaya, Nachal Shal Dvarim, which literally means a swarm of bees. Let's say he's a beekeeper, and the bees are outside. Person Oles, Sadin B'cham B'necham G'shom B'necham, he's allowed to take a sheet and spread them over these bees during the summer to protect him from the sun, and during the winter to protect him from the rain. So the Gemara asks, Ma, K'rav K'shmul, what's his brice telling us? Is this the same thing as Rav and Shmuel, that a kli is allowed to be nitel? I feel it's Sarach Davar She'inei nitel. The bees are not allowed to be moved, they're mukta, and still he's allowed to take a mat and use it to protect the bees. If that's really so, then what's the chiddush? What's the difference between Rabbi Shaya and Rav and Shmuel? We shouldn't have to have both these memras. And the answer is, kan milamalon v'kan milamaton. Rav and Shmuel are actually talking about milamala, whereas Rabbi Shaya's brice is teaching us milamaton. In other words, the only thing that we know from Rav and Shmuel is that we're allowed to take this kli, the mat or the sheet or whatever it is, and place it above the mukta thing, protecting it that way, but not underneath it. For example, we have a case of Maseches Shabbos where there's oil leaking out of a kli. That oil is mukta. We're not allowed to place a kli underneath it to catch that mukta oil. That's called being mevatel kli mehechanoi, because right now the kli is allowed to be used, but the moment the mukta oil falls into it, all of a sudden it's not allowed to be used because it has mukta in it. That's called being mevatel the kli from its prepared state. So from Rav and Shmuel we learn that you're only able to take a kli and use it to, let's say, cover something which is not able to be moved, whereas from Rabbi Shaya we learn that we could even be mevatel kli mehechanoi if necessary. That's milamaton. We continue discussing. Rav Business says B'shem Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Chafi L'Soytais, Asur L'Taltalon, sheets or mats of sorts that are for L'Soytais, they're for boats. They're either meant to cover the boat or they're meant to cover the cargo on the boat. They're not allowed to be moved, even if they're going to end up getting ruined. Now, something similar, Metzadata, Havian Prisin, there were traps that were spread out, Havian Mistarfun Goshem Shah, and they were getting burned by the sun, and the people wanted to move them. So, Asun Shalom L'Rav, they came and they asked Rav, Ma'o Metaltalasoin, are we allowed to move them so they don't get burned by the sun? This is called Mitula L'Shem Shah, from the sun to the shade. Could we do that? Amr Leni told them, Asur Liga behind. They're not allowed to be touched, they're Mokta. However, Chashvin Aleihoin Mizganin Tchais Yerushaychain, if you now think about them, that you want to place your head underneath them, meaning you want to use them as some sort of pillow, so then, Vishari Lachem Tatlasoin, you're allowed to move them. That's because the traps, for all intents and purposes, are called Klisha Malachte L'Isser. The malacha that's usually done with them is an Asr malacha, that's trapping. However, we know that a Klisha Malachte L'Isser is mutter to move L'Tzarech Makaymai or Gufai. If you need a hammer, for example, in order to break open nuts, a hammer is a Klisha Malachte L'Isser, but you need it for it itself, for a permitted thing, therefore you're allowed to move it. Same thing over here, Rav's telling them. If you think to yourselves, you know, we want to use these traps as a pillow, so then you could move them, because that's L'Tzarech Gufai. We continue discussing. Tani, we have a Braisa. Chavish Shal Tevel Shinisri Al. We have a barrel of Tevel, which was getting ruined. For example, we have a barrel of Tevel oil, and we know that Tevel is something that did not have Trumas and Maisa taken from it, so we're not allowed to eat it, we're not allowed to use it at all, and the barrel got ruined, so there's some oil leaking out of it. Maybe Kli Acher V'Noisei Tachteha, he could bring another Kli and place it underneath to catch that oil. However, Nismale Aser L'Taltaloi, once his Kli gets full of this oil, it's Aser to metaltal it, because it has Mukta oil in it. Now, Amrim Zeir tells us, Zeisem Eres, this Bryce is clearly teaching us, She'oisen Takana L'Mukta, one's allowed to do a Takana for something that's Mukta, Latziloi, in order to save the Mukta, so it doesn't get ruined and it doesn't cause him a big loss. However, Shalei Kedarkai, this is only allowed to be done in an abnormal way. The normal way to do this would be to take the barrel that got ruined and just pick it up and pour all the oil into a different barrel. However, Kedarkai is Usser, Reb Zeir is telling us that this Bryce is teaching us that as long as it's done Shalei Kedarkai in a non-standard way, we are allowed to do a Takana for this thing which is Mukta. Memar Ralph on top of the Gemara asks, Vatani, we have a Bryce that tells us, Allah Avit Shal Anovim, Valmatan Shal Zesim. This is both basically referring to the same thing. Back in the day when they had grapes and olives that weren't fully ripe, they would place the grapes in Avit and the Zesim in this Matan, which is some sort of Kli, in which they were all very closely packed together. That caused an increase in heat, and then they were able to fully ripen. And what happened over here? Shemashchan. Now liquid started oozing from them, either juice from the grapes or liquid from the olives. So Lo Yitol Mehen B'Yomtif. One is not allowed to take from them on Yomtif, Ein Sarach Lehem B'Shabbos, and for sure not on Shabbos. Now obviously you're not allowed to take the liquid that oozes out. The chiddush over here is that if something happened to the avet or the matan and the liquid is leaking out and it's going to get lost and ruined, still nothing's allowed to be done. We're not allowed to even put a kli there to save it. So we clearly have a brisa that's different, because the previous brisa told us that when the barrel of tevel broke and the oil in our example is oozing out, we're allowed to put a kli to catch the oil. But over here we have basically the same exact thing, a matan shel zesim, and the oil's getting lost. We're not allowed to do anything to save it. So Amar Chizda, he answers that no, the difference is alf bishes that tevel. Even though in both situations, the first brisa and this one, we're talking about tevel, zeh yesh lemukta v'zeh ein lemukta. One is 100% mukta, one is not 100% mukta. What does that mean, not 100% mukta? So in the first brisa, even though it's tevel and it's not allowed to be eaten, and we know we're not allowed to fix tevel up on yomtev, we're not allowed to take off trumas and maestras, and that's what makes a mukta. Nonetheless, if he's iver and he separates trumas and maestras anyway, so it is mitukin and he would be allowed to eat it. So yes, even though right now it has a status of mukta, we would say that that's not considered 100% mukta, because there is a technical possibility of fixing it up. However, this new brisa that we quoted with these not fully ripe grapes or olives that were put in these barrels or containers in order to continue fully ripening, they're 100% mukta because they haven't even reached Gemar Malacha yet, and therefore he's not even able to separate Trumas and Maestras. And that's why in this brisa, there's no permission to save the liquid, which is going to get lost. We're going to stop here for the day, but pick up tomorrow, continue to discuss this. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.